Hi, everyone. I'm Carolyn C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater for today. I live in Littleton, Colorado, and I've been working the OA program for just over 2 years. And I am really honored to be here to share on these three tools today. And when I was told about the retreat and then, you know, the opportunity to do service, it was definitely something that I feel honored and I don't know, God-driven to do. It's just to put my name out there and see what happens. And so this is what was offered, and I'm happy to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. Also, one of the requests of the organization was, of the organizing committee, the planning committee, was to have it be a bit interactive and to have there be some takeaways so that we can each walk out of here feeling like we're possibly committing to something as we move forward or setting an intention and something that we can use in our programs as we move forward. A plan of eating, I'll be honest, wasn't my first choice, but I feel really honored to be able to talk about it because it's been something that I feel on some levels is a little bit of a taboo sometimes to talk about. Or it's challenging. We don't talk about it necessarily in the meetings. And so it's, you know, for someone like myself who sometimes likes to isolate or shy away, believe it or not, from talking about certain things, that's something that just always feels a little bit uncomfortable for me to try to address with people after the meeting. It feels so complicated and so deep. We're going to talk about literature a little bit, and we'll talk about service as well. Those two are definitely near to my heart. So a plan of eating, I pulled some information here because I think it's important to bring us back to the basics of what OA is. It gets somewhat convoluted in my experience since there are many people who have been in these rooms for decades and have been through many different ways of working the program, different subgroups. Even now, there are different subgroups. And so the important thing for me is to just kind of go back to what is a plan of eating? So a plan of eating, and these are just things I took out of OA literature, a plan of eating helps us abstain from compulsive eating. You can see the pamphlet, Dignity of Choice. So if you have your newcomer's packet, this is in there. It's amazing. If you've never read it, it is a fabulous tool. This tool helps us deal with the physical aspects of our disease and achieve physical recovery. It is possible to achieve physical recovery using the tools in these books, in this little pamphlet. Not for everyone, but for some people, they've used just the plans and the choices in this, and it has worked for them. As a tool, a plan of eating helps guide us in our dietary decisions and defines what, when, how, where, and why we eat. So those are all aspects that we need to pay attention to when we think about a plan of eating. As one member stated, my abstinence is not my food plan, but having a good food plan helps me stay abstinent. After about a year and a half, almost 2 years in program, I had someone I was listening. We both approached someone who was brand new in the program. They'd just gotten a sponsor. We were both excited. We were recovered. We were going to tell them exactly how to get excited about having a sponsor and starting the steps. And this other person said, just to be clear, your abstinence is not your food plan. And I swear to God, I stood there and was like, what? What? I think I've confused those two things a little bit. And so I had to go back and just really have some conversations with people about where it's been a little gray in terms of my abstinence being so closely tied to my food plan that when my nutritionist tells me to do something different, I start to have a tailspin and freak out. And so they're two separate things. In Overeaters Anonymous, Sometimes there is overlap, so I just want to be clear on that. In Overeaters Anonymous, the statement on abstinence and recovery is abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. That is the definition of OA's abstinence. So when we talk about it, I know for me, my experience has been asking everybody and their brother, what's your abstinence plan? What's on your abstinence list? And I have heard books of abstinence lists. And there was one person I reached out to in preparing for this, and I said, what's your abstinence? And she said, my abstinence is the refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. It's the OA definition. And I was like, oh, right. So then what? Right? Now, we're not here to talk about your abstinence plan today, which I'm grateful for right now. We're just talking about a plan of eating. And so I just wanted to make sure that we know what the definition of abstinence is so we can talk about a plan of eating. So OA suggests consulting a qualified healthcare professional such as a physician or dietitian. And yet they give us a dignity of choice. What's that all about? So I'm just going to share a little bit of my experience in this arena as briefly as possible because we have two other topics. When I started, the first thing that jumped out to me when I brought myself into the rooms was I heard the tradition number 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. And that was what I held on to. I had that desire. But after 46 years of eating and using food as a drug to numb myself out, how in the world did I do that? I mean, I didn't even have awareness. I mean, there were times after going to meetings for a little while that I would be like, I'm so mad, I'm going to go eat some ice cream. And I would be like, wait, this feels compulsive. Okay, I'm still going to eat it. But I had an awareness that was growing inside of me that I couldn't turn off anymore. And I didn't want to turn it off because I heard my story in the rooms and I saw recovery and I saw and witnessed and felt people who were happy, joyous, and free from the food obsession. And so I kept going back to meetings. And so what I did is I went to meetings 3 a week, sometimes 4. I listened to phone meetings. I listened to recordings. I listened to speaker meetings. If someone told me about an event, I went to it. I went to a convention after only a month in less than a month in program, and was turned on to the Big Book in a way that I didn't think possible, which we'll get into with literature. I just kept trying to learn the do's and don'ts. Oh, I learned the do's and don'ts of sharing, which was an interesting process of just talking about myself as opposed to telling you what to do with your life. Because I thought, I knew what to do. What I found was that little God seeds were being planted along the way. The same seeds that brought me to OA continued to be planted, making new pathways for me to hear, to open up, to listen, and to be more accepting of what I needed to do. Because I will tell you that my resistance was the opposite of acceptance. I did not have acceptance. I had acceptance that I somehow was led to these rooms. I did not know what I was supposed to do with it. When I went home, no one was there to tell me what to do. When I was driving down the road, passing the places where I like to go, no one was there to tell me not to stop. When it was late at night, I didn't feel like I could call someone at 12 o'clock when I was having a food breakdown. So how do you do this program? I listened and I listened and I listened. And I heard for myself on December 5th of 2016, a speaker share on abstinence. And there were 4 questions shared in that really helped me hone in on some of the eating behaviors that I had around food. I became willing through that to start to look at what my food behaviors and my food allergies might be. I heard another share where she spoke about having injuries that caused more weight gain. And she's a recovered OA person now. And she had a doctor, and she shared this over the phone, so I'm just going to try to share it as best I can. But that the doctor had said, you're not going to heal until you start to deal with this inflammation. So he didn't say, you're fat, you're overweight, you're heavy. He just said, you have this inflammation, and your body is fighting itself to heal. So until you deal with the inflammation, we're not going to be able to heal you. And to me, that was like, oh, yeah, I have inflammation. My body is fighting itself because of what I'm putting into it. So there were all these little seeds that just started to open up started to break away at that shell, that resistance. The first thing I was able to do was to open up this book. Because I said, you know what, and I'd heard this, you know, until we work the steps, we're dieting with group support. And I was like, well, there's two things I know how to do in this world, is gain weight and lose weight. I may not know how to do my job, I might not be a best partner, but damn it, I can gain weight like you read about. And I guess I know how to lose weight, I just don't really like to do it. So I went in here and I found one of the plans that I felt like was pretty consistent with how I had lost weight. And through talking with other people, because I had a big book sponsor that was willing to work with me if I put the food down and followed a plan of eating. But that big book sponsor didn't want to talk about food. So I was freaking out. I was talking with another person in program, and she said, well, what if you just texted me the food you were going to eat the next day, like a food sponsor? Now, I know that's not for everybody, but someone in program offered to do that for me. And at first I was like, ugh, gross, I don't want to do that. And then I was like, but I haven't done it that way before. I mean, I've used a fitness pal, and I've documented every little thing that I put in my mouth, and I've calculated points, and I've done all these things, which I know don't work for me. So here's a new thing, and it's with someone in program who's working a spiritual program. And so I started doing that. And weight started coming off, and I started working the steps with a big book sponsor. And changes started to happen. Seeds were being planted. Life started to get better. Promises started unfolding. I was in a pink cloud. I was the perfect person, right? And then things kind of plateaued. And I was getting into my ninth step, which from what I've heard, people fall out. Fourth step, ninth step. And I was so determined not to fall out of this program, because I knew, you know, once I fall out, I don't know if I'm getting back in. Once I put up that wall to this program, I don't know. And I don't know of any other program that's worked as well as this one has in terms of looking at the deeper issues. So I got to a place where, and I lost my first sponsor. Well, it was my second sponsor, but my big book sponsor let me go. And I was left right at the cusp of my fifth step, wondering, what the heck do I do now? I have all this discomfort, and I need something. So, you know, again, working the steps, going to the meetings, found someone, got right back into it, handed over my fifth step, kept working the program, because I knew if I didn't work this program and make sure that I kept at it, regardless of what the people around me were doing or not doing, that my life depended on it. And if I didn't keep working these steps, I would end up back where I was started, if not worse. And that was just not something I wanted to do. So in my eighth and ninth step, as I was working those, I became willing to finally find a nutritionist. Because there's only so much I can do. That's my, you know, it's not my program. I followed the dignity of choice, and it worked for a while until I plateaued. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I went back to the basics. OA suggests a qualified healthcare professional, right? So I put it out into the universe. God provided me with someone who had the same views on life and living, and I handed over that process. And through that, I've had greater accountability. I've had rigorous honesty with how foods affect me in ways that I've never had before. I have a relationship with food that I never imagined. I eat to thrive. I strive for 3 meals a day. Life is crazy in my world, so I'm not so hell-bent on particular times because it just derails me from my life. And my most important thing every day is to have a connection to my higher power. And if my higher power is going to change my schedule and things are going to happen a little later than they normally do or a little earlier, I'm going to be okay. But that all came with working with another person and allowing someone else to help me understand how my plan of eating was affecting my life, as opposed to me deciding how that plan of eating was affecting my life. And so what it did was it freed up my opportunity to work the steps and to be in the program and to be of service. Some of the other things that I do that I just wrote down is obviously staying hydrated. I plan my food the night before or the day before or even a few days before, depending on my week. And I have a kitchen closing time. My kitchen is not something I can just close the door and stay out of. It's right in the middle of the house, so there's constantly flow in there. But I have when I finish my last meal, I clean up the kitchen, and I find really great joy in cleaning the kitchen so that everything is in its place, and it's just a clean space for me. Even if it's other people's messes, which it usually is, because I'm perfect. But I do really find a lot of joy in creating that space and making it a space that is not only clean but healthy and enjoyable to be in. I have a relationship with food now. It used to be I hated food. I had a love-hate relationship with food. I would make food for other people knowing I was going to eat half of it. And I hated it because I loved it so much. And now I love having a clean kitchen. I love having healthy foods available. I love feeding my body to live and not to die. So that's what a plan of eating has brought for me. I do want to talk about the other two areas.
4 minutes.
Total? Oh, we don't get to run late because they start us late. Okay. All right. So that's all right. The literature thing, I'll keep fairly short. For me, when I started OA, the first book that I picked up was The 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions. I still have the older book. And I bought this because I wanted to follow along in the meetings, and I wanted to be able to highlight a book, and I wanted to be able to write notes in it, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that in the group copies. But I would have. So that was the first book that I bought, and it's become really valuable when I was working the steps as extra information to read, but also just so that I'm clear on kind of OA's perspective on the steps as working with the big book. So I don't look at it as, for me, it's not the only book, but it is an important piece of literature that I utilize when I'm working the steps. The second book that I bought, and part of this was because I had a lot of guides that got me to OA, because they were recovered in AA. And they were very, very strong folks in my life who helped guide me to this place. So the big book to me spoke to me in that way in the beginning. When I started reading it, I thought, what the heck is going on in here? It's a bunch of misogynistic, like, I don't agree with this at all. And I got my butt to a convention where the big book was brought to life through another recovered fellow and program. So if you're not connecting with your big book, get on the phone and listen to meetings where they're discussing a chapter, a step, part of the big book. The big book, these are the founders of our program. If these folks had not recovered, we would not be in this room wondering how the heck to do it. So if you haven't fallen in love with the big book, I highly recommend that you talk to some folks who have and find out how the heck to wrap your head around it, because it is the basis of many wonderful things. And I think they shut me off, so I'd shut up. Well, that's not my problem. Oh, I'm sorry. It is my problem. If I'm not the problem, what is... There's not a solution. All right. All right. OA today. Who has the OA today? This is, for me, this is the cornerstone of my daily spiritual process. I always read the reading, and sometimes I go back and read other readings. So I was going to read some readings from this today, but we're going to jump to service because it's really important to me that we talk about that. So service, a couple minutes here. I would like to brainstorm. I would like you guys just to yell out there. What are some forms of service?
Get to a meeting early and stay late.
Okay.
Lead a meeting.
Yep.
Concert.
Yep.
Make phone calls and pick up phone calls.
Yep.
No matter what, help people back, text them back.
Yep.
Serve on a committee.
Okay. Serve on a committee.
Go to an event out of state.
OA birthday. Go to an event out of state. OA birthday.
Show up, put your butt in the seat.
Show up and put your butt in a seat.
Speak on phone meetings.
Speak on phone meetings.
Speak in live meetings.
Speak in live meetings.
Start a meeting.
Start a meeting.
Set up chairs.
Set up chairs.
Bring a friend.
Bring a friend.
Take phone numbers of newcomers and call them.
Call newcomers. Any others?
Do the dishes.
Do the dishes.
Even if they're not yours. I do it.
Even if they're not your own.
That's like the basis of my program.
I love it. So we could go on and on. For me, just showing up and going to a meeting, I was told, was a service. If I don't speak, I'm still there to listen. Think about that when you go to a meeting next time. If only 3 of the 8 people talk, how many people would have been there if no one went to listen? 3. Right? So for those of you who think that, well, why the heck am I showing up? I don't want to go. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to share. That is not true. So every little bit. I was told one day after I got off the phone, I was like, well, I don't have time to call people after my 10th step. And they were like, well, go out and pick up some trash. Do a service. Right? So for me, I came in, I was very resistant. I grew up in the church and I didn't want to do any service. I wanted this to serve me because I wanted to get better. And the most important thing is that I recover. But through the process of recovering, my heart started opening up to all of the people and the service that was given to bring me to that place. And I wanted to give back. And some of me was still resistant to going to a meeting or going to an intergroup meeting and listening to business being done. I didn't want to do that. But I challenge you to get outside of your comfort zone in the service arena. I challenge you to add that as part of your recovery and to see how these things get run. Because not everyone who helps run them knows what the heck they're doing. And the more people that we have get involved in that, the better those events go. But more importantly, the more people recover. My recovery, I would say, has been 50% a part of the service that I have provided in the last 2 years. So as I've been going and showing up, people start to recognize me. People start to want to see me. And I like to be validated. So if they want to see me, I will show up. Even if I have nothing to share. So for me, it went from going to meetings to agreeing to show up and be an intergroup rep and go to 6 months worth of meetings. That was just 6 months once a month. That rolled into helping out at the Central Colorado Convention. That rolled into taking over and helping run the OA New Year's Day luncheon. That rolled into becoming a treasurer for another meeting that I go to. That rolled into sponsoring fellows and doing the steps. So there are lots of things that have happened that when I looked at it walking into program, I wouldn't have done any of it because I was too busy figuring out how to live. And one day at a time, this stuff just happens. So again, I challenge you to add this to your recovery plan and not look at it as a burden, but to look at it as part of what's going to help you recover. So there's three things in here I want you to look at in your flyer, which we didn't get to. I don't know how much time we have left. But as far as the commitments go, on the plan of meeting at the bottom, I listed a few resources just because I know a lot of times it's hard to get with people and find out information. You don't have to use any of these resources. They're just resources that I know of through talking with other people in program. Myself and at least one other person in program has had tremendous success with Heather Artema. She's a functional medicine health coach. She's got an upcoming retreat coming up for a day up in Golden. Shayna Henson and all these people are okay with me sharing this information. She's been in recovery with OA for 12 years. She is an integrative health coach. More traditionally, Lisa Merrill is a registered dietitian. She does everything. She's from Michigan, so obviously she's going to be online or over the phone. But a lot of folks in OA have utilized her skill set to help them with their food plan. And the question at the bottom for you to think about, and if you want to write something down now, please do, but this is for you, is would committing my food to someone deepen my acceptance? If you don't already do that. And on the converse, to think about, am I using my reporting of my food as a crutch?
Can you ask the question one more time?
So sometimes I've seen that reporting my food and having having that sort of tight grip around my food plan becomes almost like a crutch in the program. It's almost like my food plan is my God. It's my higher power. If I stray from this, I am ruined. And that's where we want. This is a spiritual program, people. Not a food plan. So, some things to think about on that. Literature. What is one reading that I can incorporate into my daily spiritual practice? For me, utilizing the big book at the end of the day, utilizing my four today in the morning, having those grounding points to connect to spirit with the OA program is super powerful for me. Because sometimes I can't think first thing in the morning. I don't know about you, but I wake up and it takes me a good, like, I'm a good morning person after about an hour and a half. People want me to go away. But first thing is all I can do to, like, go to the bathroom. And it's funny. I heard someone else saying this. I always thought, like, I was a little bit weird. So I have this in my bathroom. And after I get dressed, I sit on the toilet with the cover down. And I read my daily reading. And what's powerful for me about that is I have my own little bathroom. So no boys go in it. It's just my room. It's got a little altar. And that way when I go to the bathroom later in the day, there's this like weird subliminal thing that goes on where I may not even know it, but I'm connecting with that moment again. Which might sound weird, but the bathroom is a powerful place for me now, oddly enough. Take what you will. All right. And then finally, under service, I would love for you guys to take this and write down what are the services that I do, big or small, daily, weekly, or monthly. It's so important for us to acknowledge and appreciate what we are doing. Because so often we look at what we're not doing. And we're beating ourselves up for not being perfect. And we're running ourselves through the coals for not being, you know, having achieved, like, you know, spirituality like Gandhi, who, by the way, was not perfect. So acknowledge what you are doing because that's important. And then look at where maybe we can enhance our own recovery through other service commitments. Is it a daily thing that I do? Is there calling somebody? Whenever I go to a meeting, I try to write down, maybe not the newcomer, I mean, I do that too, but maybe there's someone who gave a share that told me they're in trouble, they're having a hard time. Maybe someone left the meeting early, and I don't know why. So I'm going to try to call that person and just say hi. Not even going to ask what's wrong. I'm just going to say, hey, saw you in the meeting. Just want to say hello. Weekly, is there something I can do weekly that's a little bit out of my comfort zone? Monthly, can I go to the intergroup meeting? I'm just going to make that plug again, because if you look in this room right now, think about how many meetings there are in your district. In Denver, there's, I think, 27, there might be 30 meetings now. Now, we did have a meeting that was phenomenal. We had, I think, 21 people attend, or maybe 24. But we had a large group of folks show up. We just changed our space. It's very exciting. It's new. It's shiny. People want to see it. The next week, we had our usual 12 people doing the work of potentially 30 or more. So, I don't know. Think about anything you do in a group. It's a lot easier when more people show up. It's more fun when more people show up. And so you may not think you have anything to give. I challenge you to think that maybe that's not true. Does anyone want to... How much time? We have any time at all? They're still talking. They're still talking next door, by the way. All right. I just want to give us the opportunity to just share real quick. If there's anybody... Does anyone feel like... Here's the thing. If you feel motivated to state an intention right now in front of the group and commit to something, I challenge you to do that. We have 2 minutes. Anyone? Anyone? Anyone feel bold and brave? It's okay if you don't. You can come up to me later and commit it. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for allowing me to share. I know we had to start late, and so we didn't have as much time for the group interaction that I had hoped for, but I know you all had time to chat beforehand, so please continue the conversation, and I'm available for questions later. Thanks.
Sorry for that. Wonderful. Thanks, Carolyn C. If we're going to go ahead and close. Just a second. I just want to say thank you to Carolyn. She was actually able to get through everything, literature, service, a plan of eating, in a short period of time. And the takeaway for me was it's a spiritual solution, right? So I got to find God in all of it. I didn't come here looking for God. I don't know that any of us did. I came here looking for the solution on how I wasn't going to be a compulsive overeater anymore. So I think that's the takeaway. I'm asking that we just circle up as a group, hold hands, and we'll close the meeting. All right, if we can have a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater. God, grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.